Hey everyone, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I wish you a good day wherever you are. My smart person today is Nancy Geary. She is all about online learning, and she is teaching people how to use online learning for lead generation, for customer retention, and to improve employee performance. She's been at this for over 25 years, and her goal is basically to help people get rid of boring programs. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hey, happy to be here today.
Absolutely. So let's jump into this. Talk to me about your backstory. How did you get here? Because I'm assuming that you haven't always been teaching people how to do online programs, because online programs haven't been around forever.
Well, I feel like I started with online programs in their infancy. That's about how long I've been at this. Back when there were these tools called five and a quarter floppy disks, three and a quarter inch. Yep. And as we moved using mainframe computers to teach people how to do work on, which was really hard to do because the only graphics that you had were making shapes by putting together things on your keyboard. So they were these little, like an Etch-a-Sketch almost. You were very limited in what you could do.
Right.
And then we moved into laser discs. And then this thing called e-learning came along, and that just opened up a lot of doors for people because you could bring in visuals, you could bring in audio, you can have text overlays, you could make them really great. But it took a whole team to put something like that together because you needed someone like me I'm trained as an instructional designer.
Okay.
You needed a copy editor. You needed a programmer. You needed a graphic artist to get all of this to work together. Well, now, fast forward to where we're today, and there's all these great tools that put all of that together for you, so you don't need a village to create something. An individual can do it on their own. It's nice to have somebody that has a good graphic eye.
Sure.
To help ensure that everything looks great, but it's become much easier and more people can engage. And certainly we all had to in 2020 because this thing called the pandemic came along, which drove everybody, you know, indoors.
Sure.
For an indeterminate period of time.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting you say that. We had Sean Walcheff on, who is from out in California as well. And he was talking about how your cell phone is a far more powerful computer than, the first computer that was invented.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And even I think about the first computer that I ever had, my cell phone puts that thing to shame, you know, in a heartbeat. And the tools that are available today are incredible. And yet, I'm curious to get your thought on this, because even though we have more powerful tools, you still need to have people with the expertise, because you can do it yourself. And sometimes it looks good, but it's very easy to point out who's been doing this themselves and who has the professional experience and who's got, basically a set of eyes over their shoulder. Can you comment on that?
Yes. You know, I think it all comes down to good design and good planning and the way that you approach creating a training program. You know, there's a whole methodology or process that I learned and I apply to every project that I work on, where you start out and you come up with, well, what's the scope? What do I want to accomplish? You do some research to determine, well, who's the target audience? What do they really need? What's the goal? You know, and really asking one fundamental question: when they end this course, what do I want them to be able to do or know? And you have to keep that question up here all the time, you know, front of mind, because it's easy to kind of wander off. So oftentimes, you know, people get lost because they don't take some time up front to plan. There's, I'm just going to put up a course. And yeah, you can do that. But if you don't really think it through, you can end up with something that's not going to work very well. Because one thing that I see people do all the time is they'll want to start by writing the introduction first. Mm. Well, even though that's the first thing someone's going to do, it's the last thing that you should write. Because you have to look at, okay, here's all the components, here's everything that I covered, now how am I going to position it? Kind of like when Snoopy wrote, it was a dark and stormy night, Right. And suddenly he writes himself into a corner and he can't get out.
Yeah. What? It's so interesting that you say that, because I'm thinking about it from, I do a lot of work in church, and I always, when I'm doing that, I have someone else write down, like, and when I'm working in kids' church, right? I have someone else write down the questions from my material, because as I'm presenting it, I know what I'm trying to do, but I can't hear it from the audience's perspective. And that, and they know, you know, they're hearing what I'm stressing. They're hearing what the points that are made. And in that way, what you're talking about is the summary, the introduction about what's going to happen can only be written afterwards, because that's when you have all of the pieces in order. That makes a whole lot of sense that way. What you were talking about is, I want to key on something. You said, when you're building this, the question is, what do I want to, what do I want people to have or do at the end of this that's different than what they do at the beginning? How did, like, that's the most profound and yet simple piece. Like, how long did it take you to realize that that's actually what it's all about?
You know, that really sums it all up. And I, you know, much of this came to me. I was very lucky early in my career. I went to work, I think they've been bought out multiple times, but it was a company called Applied Learning. And we created training, all software training that was sold. So it was off the shelf, how to program, whatever. So while we were there, that's when I had the opportunity to work with some really great mentors. So I had like a quality assurance manager and I had a regular manager, and they looked at everything that I did. And that's where that first question was hammered into my head. What are we trying to accomplish? How does what you're doing line up with where we're trying to take people? Okay. And now people talk about what's the transformation. And that's more on personal things, certainly, than C++ programming, which is what we were doing then. And side note, Jane Lynch was one of the actors that came in and was doing these videos for us. So I have 6 degrees of separation from her. Nice. And at that time, she was cast in The Fugitive, which I think was one of the first things. And then we lost her after that. She said, see, I'm not doing this type of learning programming anymore.
Right. Yeah. Why am I going to come in here and spend this much time with you for this
when
much?
I can be with Harrison Ford?
Hey, listen, only because I have never had the opportunity to spend time with Harrison Ford, I'd rather spend time with you. It's all good, you know?
Okay, it's good. I'm glad to be here today, too.
Yes. Okay, really quick side story on this. Harrison Ford, his brother-in-law, owns a landscaping business. And I guess that sometimes when his brother-in-law is hard up for work, he'll get him to help him. And so there was a lady out in California who was getting work done on her yard and was not happy with how it was going, went out and just launched into a tirade against the guy who was working in her yard. And when he finally lifted his head up, she realized, like, I am ripping Harrison Ford a new one for the work that he's doing in my yard, where, like, yeah, something about this whole thing doesn't add up. And,
yeah.
Which kind of brings a good point. Why was it that when she realized that he was Harrison Ford, she no longer wanted to be angry with him? Whereas if it had just been any old other guy, she felt justified in her anger. But that's a story we can talk about.
Yeah, that's really, well, yeah.
At some other time.
Different perspective.
Yes. So is there like a rubric, or is there a work? Like, what is there to help people kind of go through that process? Is it just an interview process to get from you start at, where do I want people to go? How do I want them to transform? What do I want them to do by the end of this? To then work your way back. I'm assuming it's reverse engineering to figure out what are the steps to get them there, and how do you create the online course for that?
Yeah.
What's the process?
Well, there's much of it is, you know, sort of the idea that begin with the end in mind. I know where I want to take people. Then you step back and you look at it and say, okay, if I want, let's see, something that I've been working on recently, there was let's take sales, because that's a pretty straightforward example. So if you want people to get to the point where they're going to be closing more sales, they're going to be earning more revenue, okay, what do you need to get them to be able to do? So you look at what are the tasks that someone has to be able to perform along the way. And then you want to look at, and then what are the skills that they need to perform those tasks? And one of the biggest challenges, and then it comes up in any sales training program for any type of business, is how to handle objections. Mm. So you would look at, okay, what are the typical objections that a salesperson's going to encounter? What are the most common ones? And that you would come up with, and what are the solutions in terms of how you're going to actually get on the other side of that objection? There's things like, perhaps, do they need to write a proposal? What is the, what do they need to know about the product? So they need to know, so you look at what are the tasks that they need to know to in the sales process. And then there's the knowledge layer underneath that, which is what do they need to learn about the product itself so they have the knowledge to sell it?
Okay.
What do they need in terms of being able to engage with customers? What's their target market? What are their pain points? So you collect all of this information that someone needs to get to that point where they can close more deals. And then you look at, well, now how do I structure this into a program? So you kind of go from this big picture, where do I want to get people, do some discovery around, okay, what are the needs? What are the tasks and skills and knowledge I need to teach them? And then you move into a design. Well, how am I going to assemble this into a logical order? And then what am I going to do to illustrate all of these points? So how do I want to teach it? Is it going to be Zoom? Is it going to be a video series? Is it going to be just a straight up e-learning? So that's part of it, is looking at what's the delivery platform. So what's the outcome for the learner, and what's the platform that you're going to deliver it on?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. And I want to get to platform in a minute, but mm-hmm. in the meantime, what you're talking about, you're teaching people about sales, that's employee performance. Can you talk about the other two areas?
Oh, sure.
Of doing customer retention through online learning, and as well as doing lead generation.
Yeah, let's start with the lead magnet, because they flow together.
Okay.
So one really good example that I can provide is, I worked with a bookkeeping practice, and they specialized in the health and wellness market. That's a lot of the customer that they wanted to bring into their business. So what they did is they put together some different courses that addressed how to run a good fitness studio or a yoga studio. So what does it take to run that type of a business? And they make them available to them online. So somebody goes, wow, this is great. You know, they're helping me. When I'm ready to have somebody do my books, I want to work with them because they've taken time to educate me about how I can be a better business person, which then naturally feeds into when they become a customer. So they've done this pre-work, they've helped to learn about how to run their business. Then when they come on board, and sticking with this particular example, there is an onboarding process. Hey, I need all your shoeboxes of all your records. And we're going to have a series of meetings along the way. And here's a little tutorial that you can watch. I'm going to, you know, you want to be able to do your own inputting of your own data into whatever the accounting platform is. It could be QuickBooks, it could be Xero. And here's some courses that you can take to learn the different parts of how to use this application. And here's, in terms of when we're going to get together, I want you to watch this little video that will help you to understand what you can do to organize all your files so that we can work together more efficiently. So you can actually kind of bring them in, and you can keep them kind of educating. And then, by the way, keep feeding them more information about how to run their business. So some of the things that you're doing at the front end at to bring them in as a lead and nurture them as a lead, you want to continue to nurture them as a customer, teaching them whatever it is. A coach, for example, maybe has a whole kind of series of ideas or things that they say to their customer over and over and over again. Well, man, everybody I onboard, I'm saying exactly the same thing to. Why not give them a video?
Yeah.
So when we do have our call, I can work with them at a deeper level, because we've gotten this sort of baseline information that I give to everybody every single time. And the uniqueness is in the dialogue.
Got it. So in some ways, it makes so much sense. And here's what I'm kind of thinking is, when your bookkeeping example, when people become entrepreneurs, especially to use that example of a yoga studio, the person who is owning and running a yoga studio likely did it because they are passionate about yoga. They right. didn't do it because they're passionate about paying rent and paying bills and creating contracts and running a business. And so what the bookkeeping company is doing is saying, listen, we can support you in the area that's not your passion. And it makes perfect sense because that's the support that people need to be able to do the things that they are passionate about. And again, the concept that you're talking about of acquiring leads, generating leads, and then taking that to the next step, that once they become customers, to retain them all using that same thing. To go back to what you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. let's talk about the different platforms that are available and the different sure. tools that are available. Do you have suggestions, or does the platform vary by who is receiving it, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's some different categories in terms of the types of tools and platforms that people can use, and they fall into what is referred to as an LMS or learning management system. And so on the corporate side, it's a whole another type of, they're larger, there's different, and it's more about taking care of employees and as well as customers. But there, when they're creating their e-learning, they'll use a tool like Storyline, and Storyline has another version called Rise. And that's where you can create very interactive training where people can be clicking on things. You can have flip cards, you can do matching, and it's all very visual. And that's one level, and that's usually what a large organization can use. Now, a smaller company, if they're going to create a lot of training, may want to make an investment in a tool like that. It's considered an authoring tool. And I use tools like that when I work with on the corporate side. When I'm working with a smaller business, then the players that come in are, there's the New Zendler platform, which I happen to be on, which is comparable with Kajabi and Kartra. Those three platforms, they're all very good platforms. And they include all of the email marketing, so you can put your sales funnel on there, as well as a place for you to upload all of your courses. And you can add in some fairly straightforward quizzes that people can take as a way to test their knowledge along the way and build in some interaction.
Okay.
So that's one layer. And then the next layer down would be, I'm sorry if I don't remember everybody, because there's new players every day, but there's things like Teachable and Thinkific. And the fundamental difference between those two platforms and the first three is that they're designed as the place for you to house your course. But you can integrate with something like MailChimp or Constant Contact to handle your email or any other marketing tool for managing your funnel.
Okay. So let me just make sure what you're saying is the last two that you mentioned are ones that are going to need to work in conjunction with other tools, whereas Kajabi and Kartra and I missed the name of the other one.
New Zendler.
Those are ones that are kind of an all-in-one package.
All-in-one.
Okay.
And they keep, because the space is so hot, it's good because they're constantly having to innovate and add more features. So the best thing is to look across the different features that are available and determine what works for you. I made the decision I made because I was referred to New Zendler by a colleague and had a team that she referred me to of VAs that knew the ins and outs of that tool.
Okay.
So if we kind of look at best use of time, similar to the bookkeeping example, my time should be spent doing strategy and creating programs, not uploading content.
Right.
Not setting up funnels, but I need to write what's going to be in the funnel. I need to think through how I want my funnel to work, but somebody else can handle getting it all up and running and in play. And that's how I chose the platform that I chose.
Okay.
And it was priced right. And I thought, well, if it doesn't work, I'll just, I'll move on to something else. But sure. I've been pleased so far.
Good. Let me just ask this, and I need you maybe to help walk through it. there are a category of entrepreneurs out there, and I may be one of them, that says, I know why I want to build an online course. I want to make money on this. Okay. That's the goal in this. I want people to buy my stuff. You're talking about this from a much higher, but like, what are some exercises or some thoughts of what people can do to find out, like, what are the needs of the customers? What will customers pay for you to help them do, or for you to help them become? Does that make sense at all?
Yeah. And it's a challenging spot to be in. And my main focus is in helping people create the courses and the curriculum. That's really the main area that I play in. Having said that, if you can't sell it, it doesn't matter, right? You can build something really wonderful. And I see people do two things. One is they've got to wait until they have the perfect course before they launch it. And then there can be disappointment if it doesn't quite hit the mark. Then there's the other side of it is I'll sell it and then I'll build it. Right. Which then can result in, unless you are really clear on how much time you need from that moment of I got one to actually delivering it, you could end up with a lower quality product, and then you'll lose customers more slowly. Sure. Along the way. I believe I'm referring to it as fade. People come in, they're excited, they get into the first module, and then after a while they're like, eh, not so much.
Right.
So what I think is important to do, just as if for any type of business idea, you need to do some market research. Now, I'm not suggesting that this has got to be, you know, a year-long study or, you know, take a lot of time to do it. But to really, if you have certain customers that you're working with and people that you're already helping, well, what is it that you're doing for them? And then to look at what makes you different from your competitors. There's lots of people that are doing coaching, for example. Well, and coaching can be personal, but there's a certain approach or a certain model that people will come forward with that's going to attract a certain type of client. And take some time to ask them questions. And you can do it in the form of a focus group. You can do one-on-one interviews. You can do a survey. And this helps in two ways. One is you're getting some validation of what you're doing, and you might find out that something that you hadn't thought of that they keep saying, you're like, okay, that's something I need to add, or something you thought was really important. They're like, yeah, not so much. It helps you to really get everything well-crafted, and it's a way of pre-selling the program too, because you can say, I'd love to invite you to my inaugural event. Would you be interested? Or, you know, if you want to, you could say, you know, for your assisting me today, I'll give you a break on the first time the course is out there.
Sure.
And then I think the pricing of it comes into how much of my time is going to be spent in the program. So if I build something and it's just going to be out on a site and people can come self-service and take it over and over and over again, you know, that could be at a lower price point. And that's more of a volume situation. But I'm going to move into a group coaching model as part of it, where I'm going to give you some online courses that you can take. And we're going to have a session every week, every other week, where I'm going to be there. Then that, you know, then that comes up to, now we're getting into my, you know, my consulting fee, my coaching fee. And then if you're moving into, if you're going to add one-on-one types of strategy calls with people, then so the pricing kind of goes up based on how much time are you spending in the delivery of the program.
Got it. Yeah. And it's the tiered model where I've heard many people, you know, there's a bronze package, a silver package, and a gold package, or what, you know, silver, gold, platinum, whatever you want to label them, that you're offering. And I think that it's really important for you to have that understanding of what you just said. How much time is this actually going to take? What are your guidelines for people who are saying, okay, I'm interested, but like, how much time is this actually going to take?
That's a tough question. in one way because it's how much content do you have?
Okay.
And are you looking at creating something that's going to be 30 minutes, or are you looking at creating something that's going to be a full day? And you can easily spend a week to come up with a good hour if you're starting with a blank sheet of paper.
Okay.
And how much, and also looking around at what can you repurpose?
Mm.
Like you have all these podcasts that you've done. If you wanted to take something like, more lessons from really smart people or something, if you wanted to create a program, you've got a lot of material that you could go through to think about, well, how could I assemble this?
Yeah. I think you are definitely on, I'm all about repurposing content.
Yeah.
Because I have, 140 of these that I've done, and being able to take that material and to do something with it. Of course, I'm more theoretically about repurposing material than I am about practically repurposing material.
I'm with you there. I'm in the middle of trying to repurpose quite a bit and to get it all together and to come up with a schedule and get it all released, sort of I need help in the marketing. I need a good social media helper.
Yeah.
I've got the information. I've got it all here. And it's just, to pull all the levers to get it out into the world.
Sure.
Can be challenging.
Listen, Nancy Geary, you've been phenomenal. You've shared a lot of information. If people want to learn more about you, where can they find you on the web or social media? What's the best way to do that?
So the best way to find me would be to go to my website, which is nancygeary.com. And Geary is G-I-E-R-E. I'm going to come up with something more catchy that's easier for people to talk. I've got something in the works.
Okay.
It's classified right now. But that's the best place to find me. Or, you know what? If somebody wants to pick up the phone and call me, hey, we could go old school. And that's 414-315-9809. And I have a nice ebook, short pamphlet that they can download from my website. That's 8 strategies to create training that sells.
Oh, fantastic. I will put the link to your website in there, and I will hesitantly, but I hope it works. I will put your phone number in there as well. and I hope that your phone rings off the hook.
It's ringing right now. Wonderful. Operators are standing by.
Yeah. All right.
I just did get a phone call.
All right. Nancy, thank you so much. It is time for 3 questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this?
I think so.
Are you a coffee drinker? And if so, how do you take your coffee?
I am not a coffee drinker.
Are you a hot drink of any variety person?
I hot tea.
Okay.
A chai tea latte is my favorite.
There you go. I will make this
with skim milk.
I will make this confession hesitantly. I just watched Ted Lasso, and he's over in England, and somebody gives him some tea, and he says, I've always thought that tea is just like really hot, dirty brown water, and I think I'm right. So.
I've got to watch that show. Everybody's talking about it.
I will say it is not a family-friendly show. Unless you want your children to learn a variety of new words and learn some new usages for words that they have not heard yet. So,
okay. Well, my daughter's 35, so she's probably heard it all.
excellent. What advice would you give to your younger self?
To my younger self, the advice that I would give is don't worry so much. It'll all work out one way or another. And be ready for the unexpected and one heck of a ride.
I love it. Last question for you. You are in San Francisco.
Yes.
Okay. And San Francisco to me has always been like one of those places that you've got such a variety of people. Besides your classic American food, which would be, what would be the most amazing other food category that you have in the San Francisco area? And if you go so far as to say, where's the best place to get it?
Oh, there are so many good places. And I live in a town called San Carlos, and I'm 3 blocks off of the main street. And there are a lot of just really great restaurants, and we have many really nice Italian restaurants, and there's a place in town called Spasso, and I love to go there for their veal piccata. Now, they serve it with mashed potatoes, and me being Italian, I'm like, I need to get a side of pasta with this. That's the way to do it. And they're happy to accommodate. Yep. But I have to tell you that I saw something that I'd never seen before, and only at one place, and I'm in the Bay Area, so I'm sure it's at more places. Went to a restaurant in Jack London Square, so that's on the Oakland side,
okay,
called the Farmhouse Kitchen. And on the Farmhouse Kitchen menu, they had a pause menu, PAWS.
Ah.
And one of the items was Wagyu beef.
Wow.
Why? For $12.
Okay.
I ordered it for my dog. She will never be the same at a restaurant again after that experience.
No doubt.
She's like, wow. And I was looking at it because it was strips of beef. And I'm like, that looks kind of good. Maybe I should have ordered that.
That's funny. And let me just, we had mentioned your dog earlier. For those that are listening that are interested, what kind of dog do you have? And what is her name?
Her name is Miss Money Penny.
A James
Penny
Bond
for short.
Okay.
And she is a miniature dachshund.
Okay. Dachshunds aren't that big to begin with, right?
So she's like 15 pounds.
Okay.
And so she's not so mini.
Right. Is she able to get around without her belly dragging on the floor? Because the poor dachshunds, their feet are so short. I feel like they're just barely off the ground as it is. And the smaller you make them, it's got to be dangerous.
She has one little bald spot on her chest. And I think it's from going up and down stairs.
Okay. So my question was not completely unwarranted.
No. Poor thing.
Nancy,
she's at daycare now. So
Nancy Geary, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate it. It's been fun. For all my listeners, thank you. Listen, do me a favor. When you are out, wherever you are listening to this, make sure you subscribe. And if you don't mind leaving us a review on whatever site it is, I would be most appreciative. I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.